I knew it. Another Herdat Media production.
Welcome, Mike the Situation Sorrentino.
Where do you live, Mike?
Central Jersey.
We got a lot of snow. Did you guys get a lot of snow?
We actually did. It's been snowing since last night. I took the, we have a one-year-old and a two-year-old. I took the two-year-old out to see the snow a little bit. We have chickens in the backyard, so I took them to get the chickens and the eggs.
Wait, you have, I used to have chickens too.
Yeah, I have 9 chickens in the back. And we're up to getting like 6 to 10 eggs a day now.
Wait, why do you have chickens?
What?
I have chickens because over the past couple of years, the country has been crazy with so many weird things that has been happening with it.
Okay, I like that.
I'm like, if they shut the grid down, I got eggs in the backyard.
Okay.
So I told MTV maybe a couple months ago that I wanted to get a coop, and they helped facilitate getting the coop. And then they didn't realize I was actually going to really do it. So I've had the chickens for the past 6 months now, and now we're getting like 6 to 12 eggs a day. I got like a little golf cart so I could take
my son. So you got them for health reasons, like to be healthier. Is that why?
Well, I mean, I got them because, I mean, it's always – I mean, it's kind of like a cool trajectory to my story that I actually have chickens in the back, but more so like
I had chickens. I didn't like them. They smelled. I just didn't like it. It was, I'm not a farm person. It just reminded me. I was like, I lived on a farm. I was just like, that's
yeah,
not
no, it's no, I kind of like it only because, if like they shut the grid down, I got scrambled eggs.
I love that.
Okay. Wait, but who takes care of them? Is it you or Lauren?
No, I do. Lauren has the 2 babies and then the 1 baby coming on the way. She's pregnant. She's like 57 months pregnant.
She's pregnant. Congratulations.
Yeah, she's about to pop right now. So I take care of the chickens. I'll be honest, it's only about like 10 minutes a day. You know, I go out there, change the water, change the food, grab the eggs and come back. And I got the golf cart to make it quicker.
The kids must love it though.
No, they do. Every morning the two-year-old is like, he wants to go see the chickens. It's really adorable.
Yeah.
I'm definitely a very mindful dad to enjoy this time while they're so young. And that's really it. I mean, I don't think anybody really knows I have chickens. Obviously, it's on the new season that's coming out in a couple of weeks, but we just got them a few months ago.
Yeah, we had them on our show.
Look at your chicken dad. I didn't even think that was going to be the biggest news today, but you're a chicken dad.
I'm a chicken tender, yeah.
You're a chicken tender.
That's true, yeah.
So you're chicken tender.
Yeah.
You are getting ready for baby 3.
Do you know what you're having?
A girl.
Wait, and what do you have now?
One boy is 2 years old and the girl is 1.
Are you going to stop or are you going to keep going?
I mean, we're going to have 3 under 3. So I'll be honest with you. We're going to try to figure out like how we're going to do that, what it looks like in the house for mom and dad, you know?
That's a lot.
There's going to be like a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 1-year-old.
Oh my God. Was that planned?
No, it wasn't planned. We were just trying to figure out.
We need to watch that.
Yeah, we were trying to just figure out how to do 2. And then next thing you know, mom and dad were having some fun one night, and now we got none.
That happened with my 3rd one. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, this is why I just don't have sex with my husband.
But then that's funny. But when it comes to maybe the 4th, I kind of wanted the boy to have a brother, but I guess we'll see. I'm going to take it.
Yeah, that would be beautiful if you have that. 2 boys, 2 girls. That's so cute.
But we'll figure out. We're going to try to figure out how we're going to do 3 babies and 9 chickens.
Yeah. Do you have help?
We do. We do have help. We have, you know, multiple babysitters. We're always reevaluating on a daily basis on how to make home life easier, professional life easier, and trying to always get to the next level. I mean, listen, you make it up as you go along. It's never easy being a new parent, you know?
Yeah. Or to 3 under 3. I mean,
God bless you. That's like,
I mean, that is, mine are 4 and 5 or 5 and I don't even know at this point. They're like, it's 18 months. And that was insane. I couldn't imagine like another one on top of that.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. For me, the goal was always to have like a big Italian family. That was like the end game. That was like after all the hard work. That was like after me getting sober and in the prison system and like and sacrifices and pain. The end game was like family and kids. And now that I have it, you know, you got to fight hard to
keep it. You're enjoying it. Yeah, that's beautiful.
You'll cherish it.
How many kids do you come from?
Four.
Oh, okay. So you came from a big family. I
come from four, and Lauren comes from four.
Oh, that's beautiful. See, like usually like my kids come from four and my kids don't want to have four kids.
Yeah.
Because they see it's a lot of work.
It is. I'll be honest. Right now it's like a happy circus in the house.
Yeah. No, now it's good. When they get older. That's what I keep telling Melissa. Yeah. When you get older.
Teresa's in the older kids. We're still like in the I'm wiping your ass and like you can't take care of yourself phase.
Yeah.
Like,
my kids are, I got the two and the one and then we're going to have another one. So, again, it's they say when you have kids that young, it's like a really magical time. So I'm trying to be really mindful about that, enjoying it, savoring it, and, you know, cherishing it.
So you're a husband that helps, you're hands-on?
I am.
I love that.
I mean, I was brought up old school, but no, I am hands-on.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, old school. Is it crazy? We have like the king of Jersey Shore. Right. And we have the queen of Real House of New Jersey.
I know. Well, I never met you, Mike. I heard a lot about you.
I think that we never really officially met. I think one time we kind of like passed each other, but we didn't get a chance to say hello.
I did Dancing with the Stars with Vinny.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, that was fun. You know, stressful, but fun. And he did. Yes. He did so good on it. You know,
I came out to LA to visit that.
Oh, month. Yeah. Okay. So I think I saw you in the audience. Yeah.
How have you guys never met?
Yeah.
Like,
we never
all these
met.
Years.
I've met Dina. I've met. I went to Snooki's. Oh, you weren't at Snooki's 30th birthday party.
No. At that time, I don't think we were talking at that time.
Okay. Yeah. So I went to her 30th, but I met JWoww.
I remember there was one time where we were like maybe in passing, but we didn't say hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Unfortunately, we do have one thing in common. We were both like away. That's not a good thing.
True. Yes. Now that you mention it, yes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, and I remember when I heard that that was happening to you, I felt bad because it's like, you know, no one wants to go, you know, no one wants to do that.
I mean, when they sent me to prison, I didn't think that they were going to because I was actually, I fought really hard for months to get in the zone of probation, which means the judge is allowed to give you probation or community service. They don't have to get a variance or anything like that. And they still gave me the
I did that too. Like I did so, oh my God, I spent so much money on legal fees. But, and what's unfortunate, I mean, I said it, I just did a podcast the other day, Melissa and I, like I signed two homes that my husband told me, you know, he wanted to use my credit. Actually, I didn't commit a crime. Like my husband's the one that committed the crime, but because I'm Teresa Giudice and I was on TV,
yeah,
like they made an example out of me. Which
do you think that's why you didn't get off? Because they were like, oh, it's Mike.
Oh, 100%. I mean, listen.
I don't even know why you went away. Why'd you go away again?
I eventually had the plea bargain of the plea bargain was like one count of tax evasion. I had no priors, and nobody in the state of New Jersey in that zone ever got prison time. So when they gave me the plea bargain, I celebrated with my wife. I was in my underwear. I'm like, take a photo while I sign this plea bargain. And because, you know, I fought hard to get in the zone of probation, community service, and worst case, jail. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to survive this thing. But they eventually, they gave me all the above. They gave me, you know, 8 months of prison time. They gave me 2 years of probation and 500 hours of community service. When they gave it to me, I just sat there like, oh, wow, I didn't think it was going to happen. But I guess this is what I'm doing now. But they definitely made an example out of me because I was on TV. Yeah.
Why do you think you got 8 months and didn't your brother get 2 years?
Yeah, he got 2 years. Yeah.
Why do you think the difference?
He definitely wasn't in the zone to get probation. You know, when you get sentenced, they look at some of the evidence that they have of you and some of the charges, and then they give you a zone. And then you say, okay, like I'm okay with that zone, or I'm going to go to trial. I waited to the last day or two, which you never want to go to trial because obviously you saw what had most recently happened when someone tried to take it to trial. They in our position or reality TV, they got many, many, many years.
Who was that?
Chrisley.
The Chrisleys.
Chrisleys. Oh, okay.
They didn't take it.
I wanted to go to trial so bad.
Me too.
No, because I was like, I didn't do anything. And I was like, I really wanted to go to trial. And then I didn't know, because I've never gotten in trouble before. But I didn't know if you go to trial and you lose, then you get like double the time.
Yes. They can send you away for like 10 or 20 years.
You were like, no way. I'm not going.
No, I didn't think I was going. I thought I was going to get probation because I had no priors. And again, no one in the state of New Jersey has ever been in the zone 11, no priors, and gotten jail time. Also, when they gave my brother 2 years, I mean, I don't want to say this in a funny way, but I'm like, oh, he took the hit. They gave him the prison time. They're not going to give me the prison time.
Right.
And the evidence that they had on me, I was just working so much, flying all over the place, endorsements, TV, and I was high all the time. So there was no emails. There's no conversations with me. I was insulated. Yeah. So there was there wasn't a lot of evidence that I, like you said, Teresa, you're like, oh, I just went to a closing. My name was just on the accounts. And because things weren't done properly, that is what was the nail in the coffin. Your name's on the account. Something wasn't done properly. It is what it is. And I had to take accountability and be like, in full responsibility and go to prison, 2 years of probation and the 500 hours of community service. I mean, I actually just got my passport back this year. And it's almost like, from when I was had the grand jury subpoena, It's almost like 10 years, I think. Yeah, it is 10 years.
Oh, wow. Holy, you guys got it back now?
Yes, 2014. Wow. They caught me at an airport with like 7 IRS agents and windbreakers. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I like, John Wayne over here? There's like, they're all lined up at the gate. And I was like, wow. And then they handed us the subpoenas that I was being investigated for tax crimes. Obviously at the time, which I don't know if you know, but I was in active addiction. I was very high. I obviously didn't take it seriously. But that one decision, I guess maybe in 2010, which I write in my book, I had just got named GQ Man of the Year in 2010. Jersey Shore had just been on the scene. I just made like $5 million. And, my manager comes up to me and says, you just made, $5 million. You got a file. And it was my brother. And then he's like, or we can get him next year. And I was like, all right, let's get him next year.
Oh, no.
That one decision haunted me it's now 2024, so almost 10 years. About 10 years.
So your brother is the one that said this, who then also went away for 2 years.
He went away. Again, you got to think about it. We were kids that I didn't have to file taxes the year before. I didn't make any money. I was a stripper the year before. You know what I mean? And then you don't know what it comes with. When you make the millions and you're, you get the love of the masses or America, and you're in one of the biggest television shows in the country, you don't necessarily understand what comes with that when it first sometimes happens to you. And I was young. I was probably 27 probably. And I'm like, oh, I didn't file last year. No one's going to know. No one's going to, someone's going to know. They came knocking about 3 years later.
With Joe, it was 10 years. That's what they came. Yeah, like he filed his business, but not his personal. And then when they came knocking on the door, I was like, I answered the door, matter of fact. And it was, and then I'm like, can I help you? And I even gave them an attitude. And he's like, your husband hasn't filed taxes. I'm like, yes, he does. He files taxes. They're like, he did his business, but not his personal.
Yeah.
And then my heart dropped and I was just like, what? And then I wanted to kill him. Mike, because we're on a TV show. It's like, what are you doing? It's like, that's like pure stupidity. It really is.
Even while I was going through the system, they had offered me, they said, listen, if you rat on your brother, we will give you a lighter sentence. And I was like, I'm Italian. I'm like, that's just, not going to happen. I said, and I had to take it to the end of the line. They sent me to prison anyway, but it is what it is. And then eventually, many, many years later, as I've gotten sober, I'm now 8 years clean and sober. I decided to write a book.
Good for you.
And now the book is just doing amazing. I have, two babies and one on the way. The show's doing amazing. So it's a good story.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, Mike, all right now, you have a book that's been out for what, a month?
it's killing it right now that we have like almost like a perfect rating, which is 5 stars. I think we have like a 4.7 on Amazon, 4.5 on like Goodreads, which are like people that really read books. I expect it to be bestseller. This past week alone, we had meetings for it to be.
Well, let's see the book. What's it called?
Name of the book is Reality Check, How I Overcame Addiction Loss in Prison. And again, the book's killing it. This week alone, we had meetings to make it into a movie, which is really, really quick for a book for people to even call already. So we are super excited with the reviews. It's been in the press for like 3 months straight. So we're super happy.
Is it hard for you? Because like this was so long ago, right? I mean, you have to go through everything. You're 8 years sober, which is freaking incredible.
My father-in-law is 8 years sober also.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. It's amazing.
The journey of sobriety is a difficult one, but it's very rewarding. And, you know, so I usually scream it from the rooftops for people to let them know that, like, if I can do it, then you can do it too. Because, like, once you read my book, you know, you're not going to be able to like put it down. You're going to be like, oh my God, like he survived that. Like, oh my God, like every chapter's like that. So most people that have read the book, they read it in one sitting, 1 day's, 2 days. So I'm so proud of it. And again, like we're already talking about making it into a movie within weeks, which is crazy.
Wait, so your sobriety, was that your, because didn't you try to get sober for like a year and then you had a relapse?
Yeah, I had a couple of relapses. I went to rehab like almost 4 times. I started to try to get sober maybe in like 2012. I had rammed my head into a cement wall in Italy while filming Jersey Shore, which wasn't the smartest decision, but it, it turned out to be sort of an epic, iconic, scene.
A moment, yeah.
And usually every Halloween, the kids wear like the neck brace and the sunglasses or whatever. But yeah, that when I hit the wall in Italy in 2012, it was definitely me hitting the wall literally and figuratively. And eventually I had to get clean or whatever, because I was filming one of the biggest reality shows on MTV or in the country at the time. And I was constantly smuggling drugs in and doing some really crazy stuff. And now, like I said, that's why we wrote the book, and it's really my masterpiece.
Did you start the drugs when Jersey Shore took off, or was that before that?
No. I was always a wild kid. I always tell people all the time, nothing influenced me. I was influencing everybody else. They were always trying to like, you know, stop me. I was always pushing the envelope on what I shouldn't do, with MTV, with castmates, with everything. And that behavior eventually kind of maybe even led me to prison, I guess you could say, because I was sort of a stripper and not sort of, but I was a stripper and a drug dealer in college. So, you know, eventually I got away from that and I was discovered, you know, and I still ended up in prison, you know, which is crazy.
I wasn't a stripper or I wasn't a drug dealer and I still ended up in prison.
Well, yeah, well, see, at least maybe you could have been stripping, making extra cash.
I know.
And
see what I'm
saying? I think for you, it happened, obviously, you know, you were like a casualty of something. Like it shouldn't have happened. Like, you know, with you, like, it seems like, you know, you just was going along with your husband and then next thing you know, they came knocking.
But you know what? Now I'm totally fine with it because everything happens for a reason.
Very true.
And I'm sure you know, I remarried and I really met my soulmate. So I feel like that had to happen in order for me to not be with Joe anymore and to move on.
What did Lauren, you're with Lauren at the time and you get sentenced. Was she like, I'll stay with you, we're good? I mean, how did she react?
At the time, I was about, you know, around 3 years sober. So we were on a good road. I was volunteering at high schools and working at rehabs at the side. My employment with MTV was great. When they sentenced me, it was almost like, to be honest with you, ironically, it was kind of the light at the end of the tunnel because it was a means to an end. I obviously didn't want to go to prison. I didn't think I deserved prison. But once they actually sentenced you, you're like, okay, when this is done, it's over with, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how we felt. 'Cause I was dealing with the justice system for many, many years. The show, not the show, but the case lasted a couple years. It was hard, like I said, to get evidence on someone that was kind of high all the time, and I was insulated. So there's no emails, there's no phone calls. It's hard to like nail things down. Eventually, obviously, my name's on the account, and that was it. And I, you know, that's how I went to prison, and I had to take accountability. But, you know, when it happened, you know, my wife was just like, okay, like when this is over, like we can start our life, which is exactly what we did. And then obviously at that same time, we were filming the show. I have a contract with MTV. So does my wife. So I knew that she was going to be taken care of when I went to prison.
That is a woman.
I thought I was going to get out early. I swear, you know, but it didn't
happen. Yeah, white collar, they make you do like 85% of the time.
I thought I was going to get out early, but it wasn't.
Where were you?
Otisville, upstate New York. It's definitely a Jewish prison, very high profile prison for men. And I don't know. I guess, you know, the comeback is greater than the setback. I got to say that, like, even though I went to prison, things happened for a reason. It made me harder as a human being. And I turned my L's into lessons and became a better man, you know?
Awesome. Yeah. Teresa, what's
it? Yeah, I was in Connecticut. Yeah.
Do you think there's a big, was yours tough?
No.
I've heard of it. I know where he was. Joe was trying to go there and he didn't go there.
When I showed up, I mean, listen, your insecurities get the best of you before you're about to go to prison because you've never been there before and you don't know what to expect. But once, you know, I made up my mind, like, whatever's going to happen, I'm going to handle it, you know, and I have faith in myself and my God above. And that's how me and my wife handled it. And I showed up, and when I showed up the first day, like, the Italians had like a big hockey bag of, like, you know, guinea tees and like socks and like
food.
Because your commissary doesn't work for, I don't even know, like a week or so when you first get into the prison system. So a lot of the times, like, you know, certain groups will take care of their own.
So you like made friends, you made your, like, your way through it. And it was pretty, I mean, it's jail, but it was easy. Like a Teresa. I mean, Teresa was like, it was a nice little getaway. I had great food. I had got worked out.
Again,
my
you know,
place was easy. I mean, it was. I was like, this is such a joke.
Again, I hate to say easy when you're talking about jail.
I want to say, listen, you're away from your family. That's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, the hardest thing was being away from my four daughters. I'm like, that was the hardest thing. Otherwise, I mean, listen, and then you can't leave there. That's the thing. But I worked out every day. I rested. I never took nap. I mean, I used to take a nap in the afternoon like they do
every
in Italy.
Every day.
Like, I never did that before.
I came out looking like $1 million.
Exactly. I was so well rested. I looked the best I've ever, like, my body looked like amazing. Yeah. I mean, I read, I prayed, I wrote my book, which I came out, Mike, and my book was a New York Times bestseller.
Yes. Yes. I heard. Congrats.
Because I wrote it, you know, that's what I did. I wrote my book and.
Yep. Same. When I was in prison, I was thinking about writing my book, and eventually, you know, here I am today, and we have it, which I love it. But the food, I will say the food wasn't great, but because everyone liked me, they liked my story, they liked, like, all right, this guy's, you know, turning over a new leaf, trying to be a better man. A lot of the guys, they took me under their wing. I was able to get special TV time only because people liked me. If it was the opposite and I was a prick, then it would have been a different story. But people liked me. I did get extra food. I was on a diet to get in my best shape. So I had like a cucumber salad every day, extra chicken. And these guys would smuggle it out to me. I would watch myself on TMZ or Jersey Shore Family Vacation, which was definitely weird because they were airing my wedding at the time. And it was my first year of marriage and I'm in prison, which is not very nice.
Yeah.
So I saw myself on TV getting married, and my first year of marriage, I'm in prison, which is crazy. Yeah.
But thank God you were sober already. Could you imagine you get sentenced to jail and then that you have to get sober, Mike?
Listen,
I mean, people, then that would have been great too, because then he would have had no choice.
But people can go either way. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know,
you're right. Yeah, you're right.
You can go either way and your life is going to get worse.
But you're Italian, so you're strong.
Yeah. We are strong people. I had it inside me the whole time and I came out and I was a better person. And that was it. But I don't know. It definitely was an unpleasant situation, pun intended. But like Teresa said, everything happens for a reason. It made me into a better man. And it makes me have an amazing story too.
Mike, imagine me. My parents are off the boat. I'm first generation. My poor parents, I felt so bad for them. You know, they were so devastated. You know, it was so hard for them. I know my husband, at the time, my ex-husband, he felt so bad. I kept telling my parents not to worry, you know, but I used to tell them every day, I'm fine, you know, and I was like, don't worry about me. I'm sure it took years off their life, unfortunately. Look, I came out, Mike.
You. I remember when you came out, you was jacked.
No, I came out, no, but then 8 months later, I lost my mom.
Oh my God, I'm sorry.
So that's what was so devastating to me. And then that's when I knew it was over with my ex, because I was so upset that I was like, you made me lose time with my mom. And I blamed him for, you know, I was like, that's when I knew it was definitely over, because I lost my mom. And then 3 years later, I lost my dad. It's been rough, but, you know, unfortunately, you know, I have my kids and I'm an amazing, you know, man.
Listen, you just said it. We're Italian. We're tough.
Yeah.
You know, tough times don't last, but tough people do.
How was your family when you did this? Like, they had two kids.
It was really tough. You know, I had like the whole MTV team in the courtroom. My wife, Jenny, was there. JWoww, Vinny was in there. The big, you know, MTV boss, my family, everybody was crying. They didn't think I was going to get sent away. They thought I was going to get probation. Because I was planning my wedding at the same time. And, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, if you're going to plan your wedding during your court case, you're thinking that you're going to get probation. You know, I'm trying to move out my life. And then once they handed me down the judgment of prison time, like, and in that moment it was like, oh my God, are we still going to get married? You know what I mean? Cause we were just planning everything.
Wait, so then you got married, right? So
I refused to let my circumstances define me, but I let it refine me. I went ahead with the wedding anyway.
When was the wedding? What month?
The wedding was at the Legacy Castle, which is
it's near my house.
It's really, really nice over there. We did it with MTV. We did the show. My wife had it was a beautiful, gorgeous wedding. A beautiful ring, all that stuff. And then probably a month or two later, we asked the judge to give us the holidays, which was the Christmas and New Year's, which usually you ask for that, which they gave it to me. I had an extra month or two and then I was off. So, you know, my first year of marriage was in prison.
Literally. Oh my God. That was so fast after.
Yes. But I wanted to get married because I wanted to leverage my celebrity. I wanted to leverage my employer. And also it was part of my story, and it was just because it was part of my story, I wanted to be authentic and put it on TV. So I still was able to have the wedding of my dreams for me and my wife, but then, and also it was part of my story. I'm getting paid, you know, I have a contract and then I'm off. So now I know when I go to prison, my wife is getting paid, you know, and she's okay.
Yeah.
And we just had an amazing wedding, amazing memories. And that those memories from my wedding helped me get through some of the tough times away from my family. I'd be able to reminisce or think of my wife walking down the aisle, unfortunately, while I was in prison. I mean, I'm sure a number of tears have come down my eye, but because my younger self and my bad decisions robbed me of my first year in prison.
But now you have the rest of your life.
Yes. But at the same time, it also made me a better man though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you see the both sides of it. It made me into a better person, you know? And I think a lot of people have issues with understanding when certain things come your way. If you allow it to good and bad to mold you for the better. And I'm not going to say only the people that have went through the fire understand that type of, view, but because most people, when they face an obstacle or something bad, they stop and they go the other way.
You're right.
And they won't go, they won't continue to go forward. The people that continue to go forward and become or rise above, that's what I think what life's all about.
Yeah, and I'm sure, Mike, you've inspired so many, you know, like the young generation, because they all watch you, they watch Jersey Shore. So I'm sure you inspired so many people to like turn into, on the right path instead of going the opposite path.
Yeah, I mean, you're also proof of that as well. That like, you can have like one bad chapter in your story. That doesn't mean that things are over. You know what I mean? You continue to move forward and make more memories and more chapters. You're the author of your own story. Make it a good one.
No, you're right. Yeah.
Were you nervous though, going to jail, like that it would do something to your career?
I'm on TV. I thought it would make it better.
Yeah. Now for guys, it makes it better, I think.
Yeah. It's
like you get stronger and tougher. Yeah. I mean,
me going to prison was world news. You know what I mean? It was everywhere. And it's just being a reality TV star, the rules are different. You know what I mean? So me going to prison, it's like the saltiness that only seasons your sauce. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a good situation, but if you become a better person, it makes the story better, to be honest with you.
And you know what I loved with me? I loved that Bravo waited a full year till I got back. Like they didn't film until I got back.
Oh, that's nice.
Which I was like, thank you, because this is the reason why I'm going.
Yeah, same thing. That they were waiting for me the whole time.
I didn't know if they were filming with your wife, because your wife was on the show.
Oh, they filmed slightly a little bit before, but not a lot at all. Like while I was in prison, I was worried about that. Like, oh my God, like, is MTV going to move forward without me? Which no, they didn't.
You know what happened with me? It's like they stopped Housewives, but they did a special with Joe and the girls, which was nice because we lost everything. So it was nice that he was able to make money while I was away.
But I see you in person. I'm going to give you a big hug. You're a warrior. Okay. I know how hard it is, the comeback is always greater than the setback. And you showed that. I showed that.
I'm glad I finally got to meet Mike the Situation.
It's a pleasure to be on this podcast. I've been doing press for like 3 months for this book.
And just let your wife know, me and her go. I used to go to her hairdresser, Gianna.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah. I know that your wife goes there. So
yes, we love Gianna. She's she usually does my hair for sometimes 4 times a week.
Oh, I like that.
Teresa, you guys are so alike.
That's why. That's where I was coming from my hair girl, and she was like,
"Oh my god!"
And I was like, "Not
oh my
good.
God!" I didn't know we had the same hair girl. That's funny.
Is it hard though? Like, because someone always like, do you have so many questions for Teresa when she got out of jail? Like, is it hard now after all this to kind of talk about it and relive it again?
And it was definitely hard for me to write the book. I mean, my son was in the NICU, and that was really hard. And we went through a few miscarriages, and those things were really hard. But like knowing where I am now, again, 8 years clean and sober. I'm a dad of 2 and 1 on the way. I'm very proud of everything I've been through, because it made me the man I am today. So I give those really gritty details on these talk shows and everything about the things that people didn't know, of smuggling drugs on set and the crazy, because I want people to be like, wow, if Mike can be sober and Mike can get over those obstacles, I can too.
Yes.
Because my story is so crazy. But like, again, it's about overcoming obstacles. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book. And I always scream it from the rooftops about never giving up on yourself and continue to move forward. I mean, just to get on TV, you need to be a strong person, imagine going, and then there's prison and all these other things. So, we're definitely some tough SOBs on this podcast right now.
Yes.
You've been through a lot, Mike. I mean, just becoming like overcoming addiction is that's game changer alone.
Most people, unfortunately, they don't make it, unfortunately. And for me, I started out, it was just, I was in my 20s. I wanted to experiment, you know, like most people, we all, most of us, we all did that, you know? And I didn't understand who I was, you know, self. And I had an obsessive personality. Everything had to be, you know, 0 or 100, you know, the parties and the women and the drugs and the fame and the cars. And it took, it's a miracle that I made it to the other side. You know,
it most is people, Mike, most the people, way five, what we 500, almost half a mil a year on drugs and stuff. What was it?
I spent about a half a million on cocaine and oxycodone. And then I spent $1 million to defend my case, which I'm sure Teresa knows how much money it costs with lawyers. Yeah. I spent $1 million on that.
Who was your lawyer?
I think it was your lawyer too. The first one, Henry.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Wait. Is it, was it? I forgot his name because me and him did not get along.
I think you had him for a little bit and then you went on to somebody else.
Henry.
I had a lawyer. That
I do have Henry lawyer in my phone.
Wait a second. So we had the same hairdresser, the same lawyer. We went
yeah,
to went
wait,
to
I was, so, why'd you use him? Because I went to jail. Why'd you use
okay,
him?
Okay. I used him because I had spent about $1 million with another lawyer. And then that me and that other lawyer shook hands and was like, okay, he had to like part ways because I couldn't pay for him anymore. I spent $1 million. So then
so we just know not to use him.
So then I went to Henry, which was your lawyer.
Yeah, now it's coming back now. That was my attorney.
It was almost like consignment. It was like, you'll represent me and I'll pay you later.
Yeah, because you know what my thing was? Mike, they already knew that I was going to prison. That's what pissed me off.
Probably the same with me too.
It's pissed me off because here I'm thinking this guy's really fighting for me because I thought I was going to, that's what I did all these programs. I was supposed to do probation and all this, like helping the community. And same. I feel like it was just all a joke. And they just took me for a ride and spent all this money. And then I went to prison. I'm like, I didn't even,
yeah.
I'm like, it's such a joke. And like, no. They feel like it was already, because when you're in the public eye, I feel like it's a given. You have to go away. Like, that's it. Otherwise they get ridiculed like for not putting us away, you know?
I just remember sitting in the courtroom. And like I said, I was already 3 years sober, you know, beating the devil himself, which is addiction. I was volunteering at high schools. I was working at rehabs. I sat there like, do your worst. You know what I mean? Like I had totally changed my whole life. And I was also in zone 11, which, you know, should have afforded me with no priors, community service and probation, a combination of those two, but they gave me everything. And I just sat there like,
no, but now that I'm, because I really didn't know your case, and I was just like, if it was only 3 years, like you could have paid it back. It's taxes. You could have paid it back.
That wasn't even an option.
But that's what I'm saying. Like it was only 3 years. Like I'm just saying, you could have paid it back. Like if it was a regular person, they would have never got jail time.
100%.
A regular person would have never got jail time.
I paid my restitution like 2 months before my sentencing date.
Oh, which, see that?
Which means I'm going above and beyond here
to
show the court, show the public, everybody watching, hey, I'm paying this restitution payment, but usually people pay it like in a payment plan, like, you know, after or whatever. I paid it before my sentencing date. They didn't care. It didn't matter. But again, I had to take accountability. I obviously broke the law. I got to say that. And I had to be a man and own up to, you know, my crimes, you know, and that was it, you know.
You still talk to your brother?
Of course.
The one, okay. So it still, you guys still stayed together even through?
Oh, 100%. When they sentenced him to prison in 2 years, I mean, listen, I was like, oh man, that he took the hit for me, but that wasn't the case. Then they sentenced me next. We were downstairs in the courtroom, handcuffed, being ready to like processed. And like, I just remember that feeling of like, okay, like this is a means to an end. I saw him coming around the corner because you get fingerprint and also like a photo. And
were you guys together?
Yeah, there was a sense of there was a sense of comfort.
I'm saying, were you guys together in prison?
Oh yeah. No, I would have liked that, but no, they sent us to two different prisons. But when they handed down the judgment and they processed you in the basement, I just remembered having like a sense of comfort, almost like we were young kids, where you know we were doing something together, sports or whatever it was, and you know we both made mistakes. I was on this roller coaster that went just a little too fast, and we made some mistakes. We had an unbelievable time, made unbelievable memories. I'm a legend in my business. I'm still to this day, I get nominated for Reality Star of the Year every single year, the past 3 years.
Good for you.
And I got a good story to go with it. You know what I mean? So for me, family is number one.
I mean, I have to say the one thing is they never handcuffed me. I never got arrested. They treated me
nice.
Like, yeah, with white gloves. If talking in that sense, like they didn't do that. And when I came home, they were good to me because I was filming. They didn't treat me like everyone else. Well, I was like, thank God for that, you know?
When they processed me, they were like, Mike, we're sorry we have to do this, which was kind of cool. I definitely put that in my book. But the second that I walked out of prison, out of the, you know, the barbed wires in the background, I had, you know, a massive company picking me up outside. I had MTV, you know, picking me up outside. I got the Mike guy, Mike and me. Like, there was just no rest. It was straight to tell the story and work.
I mean, when I left prison, Mike, there were so many paparazzi. Cop cars following us to my house. Like, I think they got a little bit on Bravo.
Was it like that for you, Mike? Like a lot of paparazzi waiting?
Oh yeah, definitely. We had to do what's called evasive measures to try to shake the tails.
Were you covered like in the SUV? I was covered because they were trying to get my first photo. They were trying to get the first photo.
We had the we had the SUVs, the Escalades, MTV, the mic people. Like they, it was definitely a spectacle. It was world news. It was everywhere, and I was happy to just be out. I was happy to see my wife, have my freedom. Once they take away your freedom, boy.
What was the first thing that you did after filming when you got home?
The first thing I did when I got in the car was I like tweeted like, you know, I'm free, bitch, you know, like a Dave Chappelle gif. And then I tweeted the cast like I was on my way home. My wife was with me and we ordered Danino's Pizza, which is one of the best pizza places in our area, in our state. Yeah.
And then you made baby number one.
Pretty much. Yes.
I went straight from like getting out of jail straight to the house filming.
We were filming the whole time. They filmed me calling the pizza place, ordering like four pizzas and you know, chicken cutlet sandwich. And
then, you know, what happened with me, like were you allowed to go outside?
I don't think I went outside. Once I got inside, like I just wanted to eat pizza and make love to my wife.
No, meaning when you were in jail, were you allowed to like
but tell me more about that story.
I'm talking about when you were like in jail, like did you like
I was allowed to go outside. You know, there was paparazzi getting shots of us.
Like that's what there was helicopters over my track. And you know, my camp used to have lockdown. And a lot of the girls were so pissed at me. They were like, a lot of the girls were mad because like they weren't allowed to the whole jail was not allowed to go outside because they put us on lockdown because paparazzi was outside.
I was worried one time when my first week in prison, I got so much mail from so much fan mail that it shut down the mail room. And I'm sure you're in prison, you know where you were in prison. You know how important it is to get your mail and how important it is that the inmates love getting mail.
Yeah, I got a lot of mail too.
They love getting their magazines. They love like, you know, it's a thing. I got so much mail. We shut it down. Oh, I shut it down for a little bit. Now the warden had to come see me and he's like, listen, you shut the mail room down. We got so much mail. I'm like, I'm sorry. You know, I don't really want to cause waves. I just wanted to do my time and get out of there. Fortunately for me, like I said, I was well liked. I really was trying to do the right thing. And I had just become a few years sober and a married man. And I think people saw like, you know, this kid, maybe that I was portrayed to be a villain trying to turn over the leaf. And they saw that in real time. And everybody was really receptive of that.
Ditto. Oh my ditto. They thought I was this crazy person flipping tables. Like, yep. And I was such a bitch. Like, nobody really messed with me.
Yeah.
And they thought that I was this. Like, and yeah, you see, you meanwhile, seem like I'm like the sweetest person ever.
Yeah, you seem like such a sweetheart. I can feel your energy from here.
Thank you.
But what I do know about the flipping table situation.
Yeah, okay, I know. But like, that was only one time. Like, that's not really who I am. Yeah.
That was caught on camera, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mike, listen, we are so we've been so excited for this for a long time. I mean, 8 years sober, a brand new book, a brand new third baby on the way. Yes. I mean, God is good. Like,
still filming the show, Jersey Shore. Nice. Rocks. Nice. Yeah.
No, Jersey Shore is number one for MTV on Thursdays. Every time it's on air.
Awesome.
You know what I mean? So amazing. It's like, it's a blessing. It's, you know, the fans.
Yeah, MTV is amazing. They really are. Yeah, they're great. What season are you guys on Jersey Shore?
Oh my God.
Do you guys do it by season or no?
Well, we did six seasons in the first franchise, but this one's set up in A and B, and we're on like season number eight. So A and B would be times two. So it'll be like 16 of the new and six of old. So we're almost like on number 22 or 23.
Do you ever see a time where you're like, I'm done with this?
I mean, no, I love to. It was always my dream to be on TV, not necessarily reality TV, but you know, I would like to do different reality shows. Like, maybe I can go around the country, and I would love to do a reality TV show about recovery and go around the country and like save lives, kind of like an intervention. Again, Jersey Shore is like the number one show on Thursdays for MTV. We are working right now on making Reality Check a movie and a documentary as we speak, which is so cool. And, you know, it's going to be a really big year.
Are you going to play yourself?
I don't know. I might be. I think I would. I would prefer maybe Miles Teller to play me, or but I would like to be in it as a cameo. Maybe I'm in prison. I'm one of the inmates in prison.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Or maybe I'm in rehab, one of the patients in rehab, to make a cameo. So right now we're just discussing how to do that. The movie, the documentary, and the recovery reality show. So, but it's gonna be a good year.
That's so good. Happy congrats.
Congratulations, Mike.
God bless you and your family. You're amazing. Amazing.
So. Yeah. Thank you, guys. All right, bye.
All right, Mike.
All right. Bye, guys.
Love you soon.
Bye, Mike. You guys, thank you as always for tuning in. We hoped you loved this interview as much as we did. And thank you as always for giving us those 5-star rates and reviews and comments.
And also let us know if there's anybody that you guys want us to interview. Yeah, we would love to hear feedback from you guys. Like, if there's someone that you want us to have on our podcast, let us know.
Shoot me a DM.
Yeah, and make sure you get our merchandise. Oh, I just got my hoodie.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, right here. Look, my.
Oh, yeah.
Good, right here. I just got it.
Shop Heard
Out Media. I was wearing my hat today. I got my skull knitted hat.
Amazing.
And I left it in the car because I was running out. Because today there's a snowstorm again here.
Shop.heardoutmedia.com. Go get our merch.
Yeah, and follow me on Instagram, Teresa Judice. And where can they follow you?
Melissa Fista.
And Namaste Bitches Pod.
All right, guys. See you next Wednesday.
Love you guys.
I knew it. Another Heard At Media production.